that actually have substantive variety. Anyway, I got off on a tangent there, but there you go. Monster Dash.
It
Went
was an
off on a
interesting tangent. Maybe a
tangerine.
tangerine. No!
Yeah.
No!
I out fruit ninja'd you there.
Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I am Ben Maxwell, your host, and with me are Tracy Erickson.
Hi.
And Will Wilson.
Hello.
We bring you this podcast in the week that Ofcom reported that people are spending 7 hours of their days to jam in 9 hours of media on TVs, computers, and phones. This, I think this is a scary development. We're all becoming obsessed with screens. And us iPhone lot, or Android, if you will, are contributing to it. Does anyone who thinks this is a bad thing? We're actually kind of, you know, apparently, in fact, before you say whether you think it's a bad thing, I heard on Radio 4 this morning that possibly Plato, I think Plato, was concerned that with the invention of writing, because he thought it would destroy the art of memory. So now, you know, we can maybe be concerned with our obsession with screens because it will destroy the art of talking.
Eyes.
Well, I have to say, I think Will is probably the best person to answer that question because, after all, he has an Android, which means he has a lot more free time than us iPhone owners.
I always have a barter.
with which to occupy your free time from the Android.
Yeah.
Oh, quick, I've got to check my Android for updates.
Oh no, it's run out of batteries again. I did check the 3G about 30 minutes ago. It probably sucked the life out of it and left about 18 applications running without me knowing. Like it always does.
to be fair, I share your pain there. It is an annoying thing.
Bloody I've just upgraded to iOS 4, by the way.
Have you?
Oh, yeah,
congratulations.
Finally do that, yeah.
Yeah, it crashed the first time, and I took out the wire, and it came up with scary messages, and I put the wire back
yes,
in.
Yes, actually, that's a good point. Yes, it's actually not the it's the newest version of the software.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because we can actually let the podcast listeners know. Hold off on updating your firmware.
Okay.
The latest software forces you to restore your device. The software didn't do that with the original 4.0, like the very first 4.0 firmware. And for some reason, this new one, the 4.12 or whatever it is bad. So don't update your device.
Thanks, Tracy. No, I'm only joking. I had to update it for a game, so. yeah, it does. Yeah,
I didn't know because I thought it was just me. But now that you say that you had the same problem too, I think that's pretty verifiable that there's something wrong with it.
Even worse, the most annoying thing about it though is that I've got about 11 gigs of music. Of course, it's an 8 gig.
Oh.
And I've got about 7 gigs of songs. No, of games. Sorry, or at least a multiple gigs of games. So, of course, synchronized all the apps first, and it comes up with a message, you've only got 200 megs for music. It's like, what? So I'm going to have to go back in, delete all the apps, make sure they don't sync back up again, and then check all the songs I want.
That's
how annoying.
Yeah.
God, it's making me want an Android. But with that horrible thought, here's the news. So first up, we have got obviously the Ofcom thing's fairly interesting, but OpenFaint, which is the social gaming network by Aurora Faint, will be bringing cross-platform play to Android and iPhone, uniting the warring factions. Android and iOS, I should say, as they're both platforms. After your little rant last week, Will, on device specs. But I wasn't aware that it was possibly bringing actual cross-platform play. I knew about that it was going to allow you to text your friends to ask them, you know, to tell them your scores. Whether you can play across platform or not, it's still an interesting thing.
It's paving the grounds, the groundwork. Because, I mean, Home Run Battle 3D works cross-platform, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That is a direct multiplayer game. So, I mean, the technology obviously can exist. And Open Fate seems to be making motions towards that direction, even if it's slight at the moment. But what I was thinking is that this could be a good way of getting one up on Game Center.
Well, I think that's the whole point, isn't right. it? Good link there, Will. The whole point is the impetus behind it is to add extra value to their service because Game Center's coming along, which is going to be a first-party competitor. So if they are offering cross-platform stuff, which obviously Game Center probably won't be too interested in, they're expanding their reach. And Game Center is potentially imminent, as Apple have... started telling developers they can implement Game Center tech into their projects and test it in the testing environment. That doesn't obviously mean that it's actually coming, but it is a sign that we're moving closer. And September, they usually hold conferences, don't they?
September. I bet it'll launch soon after they announce the new iPod Touches.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
It would make a lot of sense to do it that way. I'm still not excited about it. Since the last time I said I wasn't excited.
Have you not seen the image, though? It's got like a chess piece, a bat and ball, a space rocket.
Yes, it reminds me of maybe Amiga kind of built-in games.
Four in one pack
in Workbench. With just the chess is text only, no graphics. I think it's a pretty appalling it's not as bad as the Olympics 2010 Olympics logo, which is probably the worst logo ever designed, but it's in there in the club of embarrassing graphic design. Maybe I'm being too harsh, but that's my opinion.
I think it looks silence. Exciting and adventurous.
Yes. Okay. Well, the exciting and adventurous Game Center may be upon us. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Obviously, keep checking back to the site, and we'll let you know what's going on there. And the third piece of news this week is, this is all kind of very futuristic this week, isn't it, the news? This is about NFC technology, which is near-field communication, which is... tech to enable you to use your phone as an alternative to a credit card. So it's kind of the next chip and pin. You can use it to pay for things, I assume, just by being... How does it work? Does anyone know exactly how this stuff works? Is it a text you send, or does it just... Is it aware by Wi-Fi or Bluetooth,
You use an app, which is developed to take advantage of the technology, and the technology is very short band, like very high hertz. Wireless, so the actual range is only like a foot or two, which obviously means less people can intercept it unless they're like standing next to you.
It's going to be quite awkward with shopkeepers. You're going to have to edge right up to them, look them straight in the eye.
I would like,
and then wait for the beep.
You have to put it against their forehead and wait for the light to turn green, and then you it processes your money.
Jim is here at last. I'm quite disappointed by that. I mean, obviously it was going to be an app, and if I really thought about it, that's how it would be. But, you know, this kind of thing, to me, it should be that your phone, somehow, they build in security measures that mean it's completely safe. Obviously that's easy to do. And then just by having it in your pocket, you walk in, pick something up, walk out, and it's automatically charged to your account. No shopkeepers. And the same on trains, so no more bloody ticket gates and idiot people rushing to this tiny little bottleneck in the stations. You can just go straight in. You don't have to show your ticket four times on the same journey. Get off. Everything is just automatically charged as you move about. Obviously, that would be dangerous if you accidentally move
into a house
and buy it. But you know, we learn how to adapt this advanced future.
You walk onto a bus and buy the bus company.
God, just wanted a return trip. Oh, shit. Well, yeah, so...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you guys have PayPass, which is something that MasterCard does over here? Not everyone, not all retailers use it. But basically, you get this special credit card that all you have to do is tap against an electronic pad. But it hasn't really caught on. And I think part of the problem is because, and this is how it differs from NFC, is because what's to prevent someone from just taking your card and then just ringing up a bunch of purchases?
Yeah. Well, this is where it needs to register your heartbeat and know you and kind of measure your brain waves.
Speak to you as well and say, hello, Ben.
Yeah, it would only you like to buy a bus today? If the beginning of another world, when the computer says, good evening, Professor Lester, I see you have the keys to your Ferrari, as it scans him. That's the future I want.
Not the introduction to Flashback there, where he wakes up and he's been beaten by aliens.
That's the future I'll probably end up with, but it's not so appealing. Oh, well. Should we go to the rumor mine?
Oh, I've got one last thing, actually. I just want to... I just remembered, actually.
You can't spring news on us.
Sorry, I just remembered. It was in our most popular stories, and I thought, actually, you know what? That is quite a good story. It's a game-related one rather than a general news. We might keep it.
Is it futuristic?
Yes.
Okay.
Id, of course, the Rage video that they showed at QuakeCon.
Yes.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that is a good piece of news.
But it blew me away.
Well, John Carmack is an astonishing programmer. Seems to be able to squeeze and eke out extra 50 miles of headroom from any given piece of hardware. It must be really awkward to be other developers who aren't John Carmack. I mean, I know there are a huge amount of talented programmers out there, but that man is ridiculously good. But he's essentially made Rage on iPhone, hasn't he? Well,
60 frames per second.
Yeah.
I agree with everything you just said, Ben, but let us remind ourselves that John Carmack is a programmer. He is not a game designer.
Oh, absolutely. And
if you go through the catalog of games that id Software has released, there are some game design questions that are justifiably raised.
So you're not saying they're formulaic, are you?
I am anticipating Rage. I think it looks fantastic, but I am not holding my breath. I don't have high hopes.
Well, actually, you're going to get a free test this year, aren't you? There's going to be a demo that just is meant to wow people, which will show the tech off.
It'll basically be the thing you bring out when you're at the pub and just like, I got an iPhone, actually. Exactly. Yeah.
Should have an Android.
That said, I did, when I was at E3, I did get to sneak in and see Rage on PC. And I have to say, it did look as though it was miles ahead in terms of gameplay than anything that id has done before. I think they're really trying to work hard. I mean, there's a lot of smart people that work over there. John Carmack is obviously a very intelligent person. I think they understand that they've been getting hammered over the years for not really having compelling gameplay design. And so I think they brought in a bunch of people who are essentially kind of really focusing on that because it looked really sweet. I mean, graphically, yeah, it's really cool. But in terms of gameplay, there was a lot of stuff going on. So if they can kind of distill that down into the iPhone and iPod Touch versions, that would be really great. But that said, I've learned to keep expectations in check because if you get too excited, boy, it sucks to be disappointed.
Shall we wander down to the rumor mine?
No, please, senor. I do not want to go down there again.
You're going down the mine.
You'll come with us whether you like it or not, Tracy. Put the cuffs on. Come on. There you go.
Rimmer. Going down, down, down. Rimmer.
Now we're down. Brilliant. Tracy is trussed up, as always. And we're now able to... we're starting our own rumours here, in fact. We should probably stop.
There's an odd smell in the air.
So, the first rumour, then. After you, Tracy, please do tell us.
Well, the first one is Codemasters is committing to making a vastly improved version of its Formula One racing game for 2011 for iPhone and iPod Touch. Avid readers of the site may remember when we did a review of the 2010 version last fall, and it was okay. It was we gave it a 7, which is, you know, that's good, but it was kind of a bit of a hollow experience in the sense that it was essentially just time trials, which is not really the full Formula One experience, considering that, you know, there's kind of other vehicles that usually race with you. And apparently what I was told, and this isn't a rumor, this is actually fact, the nature of the licensing agreement that the Formula One authority, the governing body, essentially makes with game developers like Codemasters, is that if you're going to use the license, you have to have all of the vehicles on the track. You can't say, like, you're only going to have 6 Formula One vehicles on the track. You have to have all of them, like in the real races. And apparently Codemasters didn't have enough time to make that work in the 2010 game. So this year they're going to do that. Like, they're actually going to have all of the cars on the track, which will be way better than just doing time trials by yourself. So no word on multiplayer, though, which would be a real shame for a racing game. I don't understand that. I don't understand racing games that don't have multiplayer. It's kind of like, why are you even bothering?
You probably know, but I love the I love racing games, but I don't normally play the multiplayer either, to be fair. I don't know. There's something about fighting the time that you set down yourself that I find is more satisfying with racing games.
Well, I would take
than
that.
Racing other people. Unless it's Mario Kart or something.
I'll go slightly to the left of that, and I like beating my time, but the most enjoyment I get, other than in games like Mario Kart, I agree, or Blur, is beating other people's times. So not necessarily playing simultaneously, but having their ghost lap, so I know that I'm trying to improve. Like, I was playing Trials, and your bloody name is ahead of all of my attempts.
Is this my bloody name, perchance?
Your bloody name, yes. I'm going to make sure that my bloody name is ahead of your bloody name on all of those tracks very soon. And that, to me, is the most compelling multiplayer experience. I don't need the person in the room. I just need their achievements.
See, there we go. Will wants one thing. Ben, you want another. It depends on how good the game is, whether or not I'll play multiplayer and how well-designed the multiplayer is. But I will, if it's good. But as a racing game, you should have all of that available.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of saying, oh, we can only do one thing. We're going to have to choose. No, you can do all of that, especially, you know, an iPhone and iPod Touch, when you're going to have Game Center that is going to allow, you know, a lot. It's going to allow multiplayer to be a lot easier to implement. There's just not an excuse for it. You know, if you're doing like an action game, yeah, maybe you don't have multiplayer because it would feel tacked on. But a racing game, it's a natural extension of the experience. If you don't have multiplayer or downloadable ghosts or at least leaderboards, I think you're doing yourself a great disservice.
Yeah, that's where the replayability comes in for red driving games, really, because they never normally have that many tracks or whatnot, but...
Right, exactly.
The actual challenge of beating other people, beating your own time, or I mean, even the AI drivers, I quite enjoy that. But yeah.
Okay. What's the second rumor?
Star Wars Force Unleashed 2 is coming to iPhone. Not terribly surprising, considering that the first game had an iPhone version, courtesy of THQ. But it is kind of interesting when you consider that the PSP version was canceled not too long ago. I think it was, what, about a week ago? It was canceled.
Mm.
So THQ is going to be handling the iPhone and iPod Touch version again. No word on exactly what it'll be like. The last time it was like a tap, like a kind of rhythmic tap combat system with static screens. It wasn't like a third-person action adventure, which I would love if they would do that. My only concern is I don't necessarily think that THQ has the development chops to handle something as complex as an action adventure game.
Shall we look at the third rumor?
Third rumor. This one's interesting. The rumor miner says that not only is there going to be a Dragon Age role-playing game for iPhone, but that if you purchase it and play it, it will unlock bonus content in Dragon Age 2, which is coming out in March of 2011.
On the iPhone as well?
Could clarify your question?
Sorry, is Dragon Age 2 coming out on iPhone as well? Is it unlocking?
No. What? No. Okay, so let me explain it a little bit more clearly. There will be a Dragon Age game on iPhone. It will not be called Dragon Age 2. There will not be Dragon Age 2 on iPhone. It'll be like Mass Effect.
It's not going to be exactly like Mass Effect for iPhone, is it? Because that was a bit...
That is correct. Right. The concept is the same. Essentially, hopefully it's not shitty like Mass Effect, right?
Yeah. I've actually got the two Mass Effect boxes sitting in front of me right now. Obviously not the iPhone one, because that doesn't have a box. But yeah, the Mass Effect for iPhone.
Dragon Age itself wasn't exactly spectacular. It's fairly run-of-the-mill.
To be fair, everyone else I've talked to, they're not really anal RPG fans, but they like Knights of the Old Republic and Mass Effect and stuff. They all said they were boring as well.
Mm-hmm.
Both the Xbox and PC version.
It's just very formulaic.
It doesn't appeal to me. It just looks like...
It looks like a generic fantasy to me.
Yeah, like, well, why would I just not play, or, you know, why wouldn't I just sit down with a copy of The Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who get very excited about the Masters of backstory, though, and I mean, for them it looks like a good game, I guess. You know, the lore. They really do go into a lot of effort with the lore. I had a massive rant about this yesterday evening, didn't I? I'll stop myself there.
I mean, you like role-playing games, Will. I mean,
I
find myself drawn to role-playing experiences that are not set in traditional fantasy universes because... I feel that that's really played out. Like, it's not very... It's too familiar. Like, I want to play in a universe that's completely new to me. And I think that's what's so cool about Mass Effect, because, yeah, it's familiar in the sense that it's in a futuristic space setting, but it's all of the races and all of the dynamics and elements are completely original.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, I don't mind the Japanese role-playing games, because they quite often... are bizarre in themselves, like the world.
Yeah.
Even where they're
sort of like kind of a little bit of fantasy, but it'll have like technology or steampunk.
Yeah. But the goblins and stuff. Having said that, I really like certain traditional fantasies. But yeah, for role-playing games, you need something interesting, unusual, and/or just some sort of emotional connection. Otherwise, you could have as many levels and as many numbers as you want, but it's not going to be a good game.
Or a whining child who's lost his parents.
Oh God! I actually, you know, it's
they're not lost; they're dead. Really...
Move on, Jesus.
Okay. Well, let's talk about games we've been playing on the iPhone instead, then.
What we've been playing?
You go first. Then.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all
you
right.
go first.
He was going to offer me the first. Oh.
You lost it. Because of Tracy. I've been playing Bowman Defense, which is a castle defense game. Not tower defense, castle defense. So side on, you know, relentless waves of enemies coming at you, and you have to kill them. Normally, this involves just tapping, and I haven't ever found them particularly interesting. This one appealed to me because of the graphics, which are kind of a little bit pat upon-y. Black and white silhouetted characters against kind of faded, colourful backgrounds. It looks good. It's got a kind of tribal drum beat, which further adds the pat upon illusions, but there it stops. There are no further comparisons there. You have to kill these waves by firing arrows at them, and you do that by dragging your finger across the screen, letting go, and the arrows fire to, you know, wherever you aim them. Of course, they don't, because it's really hard to actually aim them. I don't know, it doesn't quite work. Your guys are on the left, and you have to swipe your finger from right to left to draw the bow, and you can move up and down to aim, let go, and then it, you know, the arrows tail out and arc down to their target. Because of that kind of physics-y-ish element, it makes it quite compelling. If you hold the phone facing away from you, so if you imagine I've got the phone in my palm, and the top of it is at the speaker is at the left, and I turn that so the speaker's facing towards me, so I'm drawing my finger back along the screen, then I find I can aim. So the enemies are coming down the right side. But, you know, that's obviously not how it was intended. If I actually try and use my fingers with the game orientated as it's meant to be in landscape, I'm just rubbish. But I've got up to wave 18 or so, and it still hasn't improved. You can add archers to your castle, and you can use fire, explosive, and poison arrows. Poison ones slow people down. Explosives blow up with splash damage, and fire sets them on fire and does damage for a while. And then there are bonuses like random kill sniper that you can use, multiple arrows and health recharge, which you buy in between the rounds. Despite me thinking that it doesn't really work and that it's a poor imitation of Patapon's, well, a cheap imitation of Patapon's aesthetic, I've ended up being completely addicted to it. I don't really understand what's going on. So I've decided to review it and try and work that out, maybe go into therapy. But it's one of those games that I am compelled. As now I've got four archers and they're all at level 3 arrows, and, you know, it. Because I've got four archers, the arrows spread, so the accuracy doesn't matter quite so much, which I think is maybe improving things, because I can fire and probably hit something. There are air enemies as well that float in. There's not a lot to it, really. I think you can imagine that. But it was free, with Free App a Day. I'm not sure if it's still free, but check it out and have a look. Some people may be better than I am at the aiming and firing. So I think there's a good game in there. I'm going to establish that further down the line. I'll tell you next week. In fact, I won't tell you next week. I won't be here. I'll tell you the week afterwards. So that was my game, Bowman Defense. Will, you can go second.
Thank you.
That's okay.
Okay, I've been playing... actually, last weekend I played on the iPad Princess Fury Arcade Adventure. It's basically gone out of my mind now, because it literally, from turning on, I completed it within about 30 to 40 minutes. Wrote the review and then just, it's gone. it's very simple arcade side-scrolling affair. But it's, for some reason, they've taken out bits from that were in the iPhone version, so... You've got the levels of your characters who join your princess, but like it doesn't do anything. I mean, it doesn't mean anything, because if you fail a level, then you just retry the level, same levels. Like, I mean, if you fail the stage, you then just retry the stage. If you complete the stage, everyone's levels go up in a predetermined order anyway, so no point. It ends up as being a bit of a shallow, nice-looking beat-em-up, which is really too short. And it has no reason to replay it again. I was playing as well this week, iPhone game Top Gun 2, which has just landed on the iPhone, on the App Store carrier, ready to refuel and go back out for another sortie against the Russians. It's fairly decent. It's quite enjoyable. It's an Afterburner-esque game where you tilt your ship around and it tilts. Can't barrel roll. Everyone else can barrel roll. I was kind of disappointed. But it's if you play the original, it's very much like that. But they've removed, again, they've removed some things from the original this time that were quite useful, like danger zones. So now you don't really know where the enemy fire's coming from. They have increased your health, though, so you can take about 40 bullets before you die, but it is annoying. And also they put some really weird bosses in who just take, like, 5 minutes of constant shooting to kill, and like, with the bullets which you can't see which direction they're coming in, they often can just really bizarrely kill you, and you'll be sitting there thinking, what the hell, how did that happen, how did those rockets which are on the right hand side of the screen all of a sudden the last minute go boom, into my ship was in the top left. So yeah,
this is why you're a games journalist and not a top flight pilot.
Yeah, well, you know, back in the day I used to be quite the fighter pilot.
Oh, really?
I used my,
really?
Yeah, my F-16's shield system saw a lot of action during the third Spelatron Condon War.
So is the game as homoerotic as the film?
No, because it doesn't have any, except for the music.
Then,
I guess that's kind
point?
Of homoerotic. I know, there's not even any plot anymore. They've removed the plot. So there's no Iceman or Maverick teaching you the ways of how a real man works on an aircraft carrier. When it's lonely. No, they've removed that. They put upgrades in. That's quite cool. They're quite expensive. But, yeah.
Plane upgrades in real life are quite expensive, so that's probably realistic.
Yeah, but you don't get infinite numbers of missiles when you're in the air, Ben. I should know. I was flying my F-18 the other day.
I've pictured your past life completely wrong. I am so sorry.
You probably thought I was probably thought I worked in a garden center. Yeah. Other than that, actually, I don't think I've been really playing that many other games other than that for the iOS devices this week. So I'll pass it over to you, Tracy.
I'll talk about Monster Dash, which we have a review up on the site now. It's the new game from the creators of Fruit Ninja, Half Brick, and it's based on the Cannonball formula, where you are playing this shotgun wielding runner named Barry Steak Fries, and you're just running on these two 2D side-scrolling stages, jumping over pitfalls and shooting monsters. So mummies and vampires and zombies. And the goal is just to get as far as you can go, just like in Cannonball. It's a really adorable looking game. It's got a really colorful cartoon style to it. And it's a fun game. It's like Cannonball. I mean, you definitely enjoy it. And as you're running along, it speeds up. So it becomes more difficult the further you get out. And every 1,000 meters, every kilometer, it takes you to a different background, a different level. So it tries to keep things fresh. My only concern is that it's like Cannonball, it's short-lived. It's a type of game that you would play, you would have one or two runs with it, and you would get bored with it, and you would stop playing it, but you would come back to it, you know, the next day or later in the day. So it's a good portable title because it'll fill a moment. But it's not the sort of game that you would be like, oh, I'm going to sit down for and I'm going to play Monster Dash.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Half Brick is, you know, Fruit Ninja was very much the same way, or is the same way.
And Cannonball.
And Cannonball, yeah. And I think those are good games. They're in a way very difficult to review because they're good, but at the same time, you know, how much can you really recommend something that's novel? You know, so I gave it a 7. I enjoyed it. I would recommend it. I just would, with the one caveat that, you know, don't go into it. If you only buy one game a month as an iPhone gamer, you probably aren't going to want to buy it because you're going to be disappointed with the lack of depth and variety. And it's a point I made in the review. I think that game developers often don't understand what variety actually means. And so what you see in games is that there's like a lot of backgrounds or a lot of weapons or a lot of different characters, and they mistake variety, that sort of superficial variety, for actual substantive variety, when in reality variety is about gameplay. And are you doing the same thing over and over again, or are you actually doing different things? Is the gameplay dynamic and varied and new and fresh? And in the case of Monster Dash, it's not. There's changing the background and adding, you know, a couple special weapons doesn't fundamentally change the way the game is played. It's substantively repetitive. And I think it's hard. I mean, for Monster Dash, it doesn't need to necessarily do that, because it's just meant to fill in 30, 60 seconds of your time. But I do think, you know, you look at some of the bigger games, like, especially in role-playing games, if you look at role-playing games, a lot of the ones that have not fared very well are ones that are very repetitive. You know, I think about, for example, one that got a lot of attention early on was Ravensword. And it looked really good, but it was very repetitive. Another, an even better example is Xenome Episode 1. Really cool looking title with an interesting story. It was kind of looked like Fallout, but it was literally cookie cutter missions. Go kill 10 cacti, go kill 10 soldiers. And while the objective, you know, the object that you had to go kill was different, that's not variety. That's that's just replacing an apple for an orange, but you still have to eat it. So that's what I look for, is games that actually have substantive variety. Anyway, I got off on a tangent there, but there you go. Monster Dash.
It was an interesting tangent.
Tangerine.
Maybe a tangerine. No!
Yeah! I out-fruit ninja'd you there.
Oh, I was missing to the prize, and you bloody got there first. Oh, well. Oh, well, it was a photo finish, though, so...
it was close.
Well, that's the end of that segment. We are now moving on to... Come on, did you see... That was an orange joke.
Segment. That's very...
Jesus. Come on. Keep up. No one's asked any questions. Because... We are so spectacularly communicative that, you know, we explain everything and you are left completely satisfied with no need to ask anything.
Well, yeah. So, no one put any comments in the end of the page, which is disappointing.
The questions, they don't have to be sensible or even positive.
Yeah, they can be insults. You know, well, as long as they're questions.
So as long as they're phrases.
Why does Ben smell so bad?
Yeah.
He looks pretty ugly, isn't he?
Yeah, those kind of things, and we'll answer them. Obviously, we would prefer something that was actually to do with iPhones. Is it the end of the podcast? I won't be here next week because I have a friend visiting, which will be nice. So someone else is going to have to host. But I will. Maybe Stephen Fry. We could get him, couldn't we?
I was thinking. I have contacted his agent.
Yeah. Has the agent responded?
No.
Didn't he take a restraining order out against you?
Yeah, that was a while back, though. That was at least a week ago.
Yeah.
A week is
they
a long time.
Don't they?
Even longer than in broadcast.
And even longer than that in Twitter. So, and that's where he lives. So it's fine.
He lives in Twitterville now. I forgot he moved there. It's a magical place where, oh no, we're there. With millions of toys all over one roof.
Millions of tweets all over.
Millions of tweets, sorry, all under one roof. It's called
Hell!
So I'm doing this.
So, from hell, goodbye from me, and I'll see you in a fortnight. I will miss every single one of you. You're very special to me.
Bye from me. I'll see you next week.
I'll see you next week. And by the way, the answer to the question was 1, yes, and 2, no, of course he isn't. Thank you.
I won't miss you, Will.